had two verses on my mind from Romans 6 that support what we're talking about. And in Romans 6, chapter 6, verse 6, it says, "Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin." And also in verse 4, "Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life."
I believe there was a question over here.
Last night during devotions, we came upon this verse and we just needed some clarity on it. It's James 2:24, and it says, "Ye see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only." And so in Galatians we're talking how we need faith to be saved, and here it's talking how not by faith only. So we were just confused on that.
Well, yeah. What we want to look at is the clock, because we have a whole chapter to go over. Let me say this about James. James is justification before men. What does that mean? Somebody looks at me, or in the book of James, we are looking at how someone walks and seeing the evidence that God has worked in their heart. Romans, we're looking at the work of God in the heart of a person and seeing the results of it. Someone called, it was Luther that called James the epistle of straw. He didn't understand the point of view that James was coming from, you see. James is looking at what men see. So I think if you want to discuss it more after the meeting, we will. We have a question here, and then I want to try to move us forward.
It's not on.
It's on.
Okay, so if you guys were talking about how there is the old man inside of you, right, and is dead, but there is also a new one. So why should there be two if the old man is dead? It should be only one.
What we were attempting to show us is that I have two natures. I have an old nature that I received as a child of Adam, and that old nature will be with me until one of two things happens. The first thing is what I hope for: the Lord takes me home. The second thing is that death may come in before then, and I die. Okay? Then that old nature will be done forever with us. What this epistle is about is the two Emils, and taking the new Emil and putting him under the principles of the old Emil. Do we understand that? Taking the new man in Christ Jesus and putting that man under the principles of the law. Now, how strong does Paul speak about it? Verse 1, he calls the Galatians foolish. Verse 3, he calls the Galatians foolish. Verse 4, he says, "Have you suffered so many things in vain?" Now somebody's going to ask me, what did they suffer? Here's what they suffered. They put themselves in bondage. Remember again about the law. It makes no provision for you to fail. You can't fail one time. You can't under any instance have a wrong thought, do a wrong thing, be unkind to somebody, steal my sneakers that we're talking about. You can't do anything. You cannot fail under the law. No provision. If you do, we read in James, everything is gone. So Paul is coming into these Galatian believers and he's saying, "Foolish Galatians, don't you realize Jesus Christ was set forth among you, crucified?" And then he asks them a question. He says, "I don't have 10 things that I need to hear from you. I only have one. I only want to know one thing. If you can answer me this one thing, then we're going to be on good ground. How did you receive the Spirit?" The mark of a Christian is that Christ dwells in us by the Spirit. A divine person, come from glory, indwelling you and I. This only, mark that. He doesn't say 10 things. He says, this only would I learn of you. Did you receive the Spirit by keeping the law? Or did you receive the Spirit by the hearing of faith? If you can answer me that question, Paul says, it's going to set us back on the right direction. They didn't get the Spirit of God through keeping the law. It was through faith. And we go back to the day of Pentecost, and we remember seeing the Spirit of God coming down and sitting on each one that was in that room. What did they do to make that happen?
They believed.
They believed. That's the answer. They believed. They were there, and the Spirit of God came down. And this is what he's saying to them. He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and works miracles among you. I believe that was Paul. I believe he's speaking about his work among the Gentiles. How did he do it? Did he do it by keeping the law? Or did he do it through faith? This is what he's trying to set before them. I'll ask what Emil asked. Is it clear? Do you understand what I just said? Do you understand? I mean, help me to see if you don't understand what we're saying. If you don't have an understanding when you leave here, if we haven't made it clear, we've failed. Okay? No questions.
Okay. What did we get in chapter 2, verse 20? What did we get there? Life. Remember the three L's? What did we get? Life. The life of the Son of God. You get life. That life is the life of the Lord Jesus expressed in you. I want you to imagine that now. You were giving the life of the Lord Jesus. You know what else you were giving? And that's what Brother Chuck was speaking about in chapter 3. You are giving the Spirit. Okay, remember the gospel of Christ, the other gospel. I told you what the gospel of Christ give you, and I told you what the other gospel give you, correct? You have them written down. You know them by heart. They're going to be on the test. There are two more things that the gospel of Christ give you when you hear it and you believe it. It gives you what? Life. It gives you what? I want to hear it. Life. Oh man. What kind of life?
New life.
The life of Christ. What does the gospel of Christ give you when you believe it? The life of Christ. I'm not going to stop until you say it loud and clear. What did the gospel of Christ give you when you believe on it?
The life of Christ.
You have the life of Christ. So when you look, because that was question over there, and when you look, who is acting now? Who is acting? Who is behaving? You have two options. Either Emil is going to behave, or Christ is going to behave. You're either going to see me, or you're going to see Christ. You got it? Yes? All right. I am a person who just like to hear interaction. So when you say yes, say it loud and clear. What you got? The life of Christ. What should I see in you?
Christ.
The life of Christ. And if I don't see the life of Christ, who am I going to see?
The old nature.
The old one. Yes. Now you understand the struggle you go through? Now we understand sometimes why you want to do certain things and you can't do it, and you understand this is exactly what's happening. What other thing you got as a result of the gospel of Christ? You got life. What else you got?
The Spirit.
The Spirit. What else you got?
The Spirit.
What kind of Spirit?
The Holy Spirit.
There you go. So you get the life of Christ and you get the Spirit of God. You get the Holy Spirit as a result of that. Look at what Christianity gave you. It gave you life. And it give you ability.
Power.
Sorry, that's the right word.
Mm-hmm.
It give you power to function in that life. Are you with me so far? The gospel of Christ give you the life of Christ and give you power to display the life of Christ.
And I think that the question about James, this is where it comes together very nicely, is that if the life of Christ, if there is true conversion, and I have the life of Christ in me, I can't just say I'm a believer. It has to be demonstrated in my life. That is why it is not just simply faith alone, because faith gives me the life of Christ, the Spirit of God. And then the evidence is seen in my conduct. You know, you have the righteousness of God. Remember, the disobedience of one man made us sinners, but the obedience of one Christ has made us righteous. The old one is dead, but now we have the life of Christ, the Spirit of God, who gives us the enablement, the power to live a life that demonstrates to all that Christ is in me, that there is new life. That is the real, where the rubber meets the road. There are those who say, I'm a Christian. You see them drinking, living all kinds of life, speaking all kinds of things, then you wonder if they have the life of Christ in them. But think about the Apostle Paul. It was evident in his life what he once was and now what he is in Christ. And I think that that's a nice way to look at the book of James. You say you're a Christian, show me it as evidence in your life. And that's the power, the demonstration of the life that we have in Christ.